The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta.
Well, it's so good to be together today on this first Sunday of 2022. And as I was thinking about us starting a new year, I couldn't help but ask myself the question, how do the people of God prepare for a new year? I mean, do we look back on the year that's previous and take stock at what's gone wrong and kind of problem solve of how we're going to fix it to move forward? Do we look at the coming year and we do the resolution thing where we pick some new disciplines? Well, as I thought about that, I recognized that actually throughout history, the historical church has done something at the beginning of every year. Every January 6th is a day of celebration for the church. In the church calendar, it's the day called Epiphany, actually. And we begin the new year by paying attention to a certain story. It's actually a story about a star. A star. That three wise men, three magi, three people who were not a part of the people of God, three people who didn't know anything about the Lord or Jesus, were out east in Babylon, and they looked up and saw a star. And they began a journey that would have taken them around 1,400 kilometers, a journey that would have taken them 4 months to come to find what they thought was the new king, Jesus. And when we pay attention to that story, we know that at Epiphany, this day we celebrate that this person of Jesus has come, has brought the light to the nations, that salvation has come to the whole world. We pay attention to that, and we pay attention to our story, that not, it isn't just the whole world that salvation has come to, but it's come to the people of God. Salvation has come. The second thing we pay attention to as we look at this story of Epiphany is that we recognize that they, the wise men, take this long journey with one thing in mind, don't they? Take 4 months off work, travel all that distance to come do one thing. They come, they find this newborn king, Jesus. And they come to the door and they bow and they offer him gifts and they worship him. And then they leave. And as I thought about that, I think about as we come to another year to 2022, how do the people of God prepare for 2022 in light of what is going on around us? In light of the chaos, the uncertainty, we've never been this way before. It's been a couple years where we don't really know what's going on. We sit in a church where there's pews covered with curtains. We don't know what's going to happen this year. And so how do we start? Well, we start with two things. One, we reflect on how the light of Christ has come to the nations and it's come to us. And the second thing we do, as we wait and as we watch for things to be different, we come and we worship. We worship. And so this morning, today's going to be a little bit different, actually, is we want to focus on those two things as we prepare for 2022. We want to reflect on what God has done. And so in a second, the worship team's going to come and play a song. They're going to play The Goodness of God, which has a line in it that is on my mind often. It says, "All my life you have been faithful." And what I'm going to ask of you is that you actually would remain seated, and I'm going to ask actually that you don't sing. I would like it if you would reflect, take a moment to reflect on how the light of Jesus has come to your own life. I want you to take a moment and be brought back into your memory when you first heard about the person of Jesus and you first were given life in his name. I want you to reflect. I want you to think about maybe your baptism or significant spiritual markers or how Jesus has brought you through. And I just want you to remember. And then we'll close that song, and then I'm gonna ask us to actually respond as we start with 2022. And we're gonna sing, "Great Are You, Lord." And we're gonna stand and worship together for thanking the goodness of God together. And so let me pray for us as we lead into this song. Father, we thank you today that you have been good. In all our lives, you have been faithful. And we want to start 2022 not with suspicion, not with angst or worry about what's to come. We want to start by looking back at your faithfulness. And we want to start that in the middle of everything going on around us, that we will be a people that, like the wise men, will come and worship. In Jesus' name. If you haven't been with us long, it's maybe your first time tuning in online and you're thinking, I don't have much to reflect on. I just encourage you to listen to these words. Because as the people of God, as the church, we believe these words to be true. This is the God that we serve and we worship. Would you just listen and reflect with us now? It is during the season and the celebration of Epiphany that often the church looks at a few different pieces of scripture. And one of those pieces is Isaiah 60, which I just really believe it has a great word for us as we start the new year. And so we'll spend a little bit of time in Isaiah 60 today, and then we're gonna end today at the Lord's table and continue on in worship. So I would just love to read a little bit of Isaiah 60 to you. It says this: "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." This piece of scripture starts with doing exactly what we've just done. It recognizes that the Lord has risen upon us, that his light has come to the people of God. And it opposes this with saying, darkness covers the face of the earth. Thick darkness is over all of the peoples, but not so with you. Not so with you. The light of the gospel of Jesus has come to you and come to me, and we have been brought out of darkness. Now, some of you may be here for some of the first times and thinking, actually, I don't know if the light has come to me. I'm not a follower of Jesus. I wouldn't consider myself a part of the people of God. And yet we believe it to be true that no one can seek Jesus without being drawn by him, without the light actually shining on him. You couldn't tune in today or actually be here in the church today without something drawing you. And we believe that's the light of Christ. And then it goes on to say, it says the glory appears, his glory appears over you. And how do we understand that word glory? That's a little bit of a confusing word. Well, really, if you break it down, it really kind of means that his radiance is over you. And there's a story of the Old Testament that really frames this well for us. It's the story of Moses from the book of Exodus. Moses is 80, so he's getting up there in years. And he's on the backside of the desert taking care of some sheep. Not even his sheep, actually, is there's his father-in-law's sheep. And we know from Moses' story that he has been on the run from Egypt for the last 40 years. He killed a man. And so he fled Egypt to try to get away. And he's been kind of wandering. And then we are told in Exodus that the glory of the Lord appears to him. And he sees a bush that is on fire but isn't burning up. And the glory of the Lord radiates on him and calls him by name, Moses, Moses. And the glory of the Lord, the person of the Lord, calls Moses to follow him and then gives him a job. And we're meant to understand when it talks about the glory of the Lord rises upon you, is that we have all had a burning bush moment. We've all had a burning bush moment. There isn't one person who has become a part of the people of God or who has given their life to Jesus who has not had a burning bush moment. And some of us would say, well, actually, my story is not that extreme. I didn't get come to know Jesus that way. Well, some of us have. And then some of us have stories that are burning bush moments that are little. Myself, 13-year-old boy in a basement bedroom, reading the scripture, and a verse popping out to me that says, do not be afraid or terrified because of them. And I sensed a burning bush moment that the Lord's glory had risen upon me and was speaking to me. We start today by reflecting on the fact that we have been brought out of darkness and have been given a burning bush moment. And we say thank you to the Lord. And then the text moves on and it says his light has risen on you. His glory has come upon you. And so you have become light. And he goes and it says this, the nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. The nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Now the scripture, how when we come to the scripture, sometimes we forget that yes, this is written for us. It is written for our worship to know the Lord, but it was actually written to a people thousands of years ago. And the people that this was written to thousands of years ago, the context with which it was written was these people were the Israelites, the nation of Israel. And in their history, they are in a spot that is actually kind of grim. For the last 70 years, they had been in exile. And by exile, I mean that the nation of Babylon had come and conquered the nation of Israel in Jerusalem because the nation of Israel had been rebelling against God. They didn't want to listen to God. They didn't want to follow God. And so Babylon comes and conquers the nation of Israel and takes all of its people, most of its people, to Babylon. And they are in exile for 70 years, serving the king of Babylon. And when we come to this passage, where the nation of Israel is at is a small number of them, a few thousand, have come back to Jerusalem, and that's when this is written, but they've come back to Jerusalem, and their walls are broken down. The temple where they once worshiped is no longer built. It's been destroyed. They come back, and they're really a mess. They're a humiliation to the rest of the world, and yet God says to them right here, in their bleakest moment, the nations will come to your light. They would have thought this was the biggest joke in the world. What do you mean the nations are going to come to our light? We are a humiliation to the world. And yet we fast forward the story a couple hundred years and we hear about God's plan where he sends his son Jesus, fully God and fully man, to walk amongst his people, to show them how to love God and how to love others. And he lives a perfect life. And then the story goes, as we talk about, is that Jesus dies for all of mankind. He's on a cross and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He goes, gets put in a tomb. And God raises him from the dead, and 3 days later, he's raised, and he encourages followers, and then he goes to heaven, and the people of the light have come down to 120. Back here, they would read this, the nations will come to your light. What do you mean the nations? There's only 120 of us. But what ends up happening? These 120, their faith is so vibrant. They are so full of the light of Christ and the love of God that they can't keep the message to themselves. And they go into all of the world, and the nations come to know the person of Jesus. And we have the privilege of stepping back from this text and go, oh my goodness. You know, all this talk about the Bible being out to lunch, all this talk around us of the Bible not being true, this happens. This happens. I mean, we step back and we go, oh my goodness, we just had Nick Rifkin here like a couple months ago, and he talks about being in China around the Chinese believers, and there's these Chinese believers who are so vibrant in their faith, and they ask him the same question. They say, Nick, has Jesus made it to other nations or just China? And Nick Rifkin says, he's made it to the world. There are very few tribes, tongues, and nations who have not heard of the light of Jesus Christ. On January 30th, we'll get to hear more of it. Well, Ron Pierce will be here speaking, and he's someone who has gone around the world working amongst believers. And I was listening to his podcast this last week, and he tells a story about being in India. And there's a Hindu woman who's got a son who is sick. And nothing is working. And I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news when it comes to India, but India is really locking down on Christianity. They don't want any part of Jesus in their country. They've just started to limit Mother Teresa's organization that's worked all these years in Calcutta. They're trying to throw them out. And this woman goes to some Christians and says, hey, will you come pray? And these Christians, they come and pray for this boy, and he starts to get healed. And the Hindu neighbors around said, we do not like this. Call the authorities. These Christian men are thrown in jail. This is very recent. And they're in prison. And while they're in prison, their light is so vibrant. Light is so vibrant that the nations come. 40 people give their life to Jesus, and a church is birthed right inside that prison. The light has come to the nations. The nations will see your light and come. And that is why Jesus says later in the New Testament, he says this, you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, I think verse 16, you are the light of the world. The people of God are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You don't light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. No, you let it shine for everyone to see. In the same way, let your good deeds shine before man so they might see them and praise your Father in heaven. The church, the people of God, have always been intended to be the light of the world. That is why we talk about he has called them out of darkness into light. And we come to this text this morning and to the new year, and we are meant to think about our identity as being the light of the world, and we need to ask ourselves the question, well, are we dwelling in the light? As the people of God, it is hard to let our light shine if we're dwelling in darkness. We can't shine if there is unforgiveness amongst us. We can't shine if we're ungrateful. We can't shine if we're greedy. We can't shine if we're no different than everyone around us. This text meant to remind us, you are the light of the world. You are the hope of the world. I was talking with somebody this last week who was telling me about their grandson. And they've got a grandson who is a little bit of a wild card. And he's wired and doesn't listen real great. And the grandma was telling me that often, every day the mom will call her son over and say this, "You have a heart of obedience." And the kid will look up and he'll kind of smile, and then he'll go run off and do something else. And before you know it, he's not listening again. And she'll call him over and she'll say, "You have a heart of obedience." His grandma was telling me she's got to do that several times a day. That is what we are meant to hear today. Regardless of whether we feel like we're the light, regardless of whether we maybe have been living a little bit in darkness, today we are being called to step into the light and be the light of the world, that we, the church, the people of God, are the hope of the world in 2022. It is our light that shines bright that will cause the nations to come. The nations to come. Our passage goes on and it says, not only are you the light of the world, not only will the nations come to your light, but when you are vibrant, something else will happen. Something more personal. Verse 3 says, again, it says, "The nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assembled and come to you." The nations are coming. But with the nations, pay attention to who is coming to the light. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. This passage goes on to say, it isn't just the nations that will be drawn to your light. When you are vibrant, when you are living like Jesus, when you are loving like Jesus, when you are loving others like Christ would, somebody else is going to be drawn to your light. And this is meant to get really personal. We're meant to actually look at this and say, actually, my sons who maybe have wandered, my daughters who don't want anything to do with the Lord, whose lives is living in darkness, my best friend who I've prayed for, my husband, those that are dearest to me will be drawn to the light. And when they come, my heart will throb and swell with joy. And we're meant to actually just stop right there and ask ourselves the question, who would come? Who would come into the light? Who would come to know Jesus that would cause your heart to throb and swell with joy? We're meant to remember that the Lord is saying, this is something I'm going to do. This is coming. And if you fast forward, the story that helps us really live into this is the story of the prodigal son in the New Testament. Jesus tells this story. He says, there is a father. There is a father who every day looks out the window. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But there's a father every day who looks out the window waiting and longing for his son to come home. He's got a son who has squandered all of his inheritance on wild living. He's got a son who's been making terrible decisions. He's got a son that is absolutely broke, is eating the slop of pigs, is what it tells us. And this father is looking out the window, longing and waiting, praying and hoping that his son will return. And the day comes where his son comes to that driveway. And the father's heart throbs and swells with joy. And he opens the door and he runs. Can you see the person out the window? Can you see who you would long for to be reconciled to, the person to come home? Can you see them at the driveway coming home? And your heart would throb and swell with joy because they have returned. The Lord is saying, I will do this. A day is coming where I'm going to pour out my spirit and your sons and daughters, they will return. They will return. I mean, we got to taste this a little bit in the last, over Christmas, I got a text from a young man that we've been staring out the window for. We've been staring out the window for him, longing for him to come home because 3 years ago he told us, I don't want anything to do with Jesus anymore. I don't want anything. And his life took a turn for a lot of worse. And I got a text just before Christmas break where he said, hey, Jordan, I'm just wondering, I know maybe you've heard, but I've given my life back to Jesus. I've chosen to follow him again. And I wanted to fill you in on some of that story. And our hearts throb and swell with joy because he's back. That is what it is meant here in this story. And you know, these things, they lead, this piece of scripture leads us so well into thinking about the Lord's Supper, thinking about the table. Because we think about those who we imagine and long for to return home, those we imagine to know the light and life of Jesus, we long for them to actually gather with us around the table. The Lord gives us the picture of a table when we come together as followers of Christ, when we talk about communion, is because the table is where we have the most intimacy, isn't it? When we sit down at the table with friends and family and we eat and we feast and we celebrate, Jesus points us forward to the day that's coming where we will feast and eat with those who have been lost. And so we come to the table today thinking about those things. We come to the table thinking about Christ's body, which has been broken for us. We think about how the light and life of Jesus has come to all of us because Jesus died on a cross so that we could have relationship with him, so that we could have life now. And we remember that. We've remembered that today. And then we come to the table and we have the glass and we point forward that Jesus' blood was poured out for us, but it's the cup actually represents his promise that one day he will pour out his spirit. One day we will see those we pray for, maybe even 2022, those we ask the Lord for, those we watch and wait for to join us around the table. And we dream about that day that he's gonna make all things new, but we hold it and we think about these two things together, that we are committing to be the light of the world, that we as the people of God are committing that we will become bread for a hungering world, that we as the people of God, that we will become drink for a thirsty world when we come to the table. And so when we come, is the opportunity to remember those two things, but also to take a moment to ask ourselves, are we walking in the light? Are we? It's an opportunity to actually examine ourselves to say, hey, am I at right relationship with God? And if I am not, I take a moment to humble myself before him and ask for forgiveness. It's a moment where I look to my left and look to my right and say, am I at right relationship with his people? And if I'm not, then I pull out my phone and I send a little text. Say, hey, can we talk about some things? The table is what is meant to actually bring us unity. I have a little poem that as we go into taking communion that has been quite meaningful to me, that speaks of what we hope for and long for. And this is what my hope and longing would be for us in 2022. And so I just would love to read this for you. It's a poem by Jan Richardson. It's called "The Table Will Be Wide." And as I say those words, I just would love it if we imagine that the people we long for would be at this table. And the table will be wide, and the welcome will be wide, and the arms will open wide to gather us in, and our hearts will open wide to receive. And we will come to the table as children who trust that there is enough, and we will come unhindered and free. And our aching today will be met with bread, and our sorrow will be met with wine. And we will open our hands to the feast without shame, and we will turn toward one another without fear. And we will give up our appetite for despair, and we will taste and know of delight. And we will become bread for a hungering world. And we will become drink for those who thirst. And the blessed will become the blessing. And just as in the prodigal son's story, everywhere will be the feast. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for what you've done amongst us. And we thank you for what you say that you're going to do. And as we take a moment to gather at the table, to take communion together, we pray that you would make us the light of the world. And we ask, Lord, that you would make our lives right with you and with one another. Reveal to us anything that is hindering us from being that light, from being the bread and the drink to a hungry and thirsty world. In Jesus' name, amen. So love it if you would just take out your communion. And we will take the bread. This is Christ's body broken for you. Just take the bread with me. And this is Christ's blood poured out for you, but also his promise that he will come back and make all things new. A day is coming. Would you take the cup with me? Now I'd love to invite the worship team to come back up, because we want to close our time together the way we started it. That 2022, in the midst of the waiting, in the midst of everything that's going on, that we will be a people that chooses to worship. So would you stand with me?